our offering for single moms. So if you brought that, make sure that you designate it on your tithing envelope under special. That would be great. And then if you have your Bibles, you can open up. We have three different places today. Matthew 1 is where we're going to start. And we're learning about a story of trust, looking at the Christmas story in a different light. And it's a story of trust. And last week we saw how that Mary had to trust God with her future. Remember that? The angel comes and tells her that she's going to have a child. And I shared last week that we look at these things sometimes and we just go, oh yeah, that's so great that she said yes. And we just kind of pass over it. But it's really amazing that she said yes when you think about all the repercussions that would come from her saying yes. We talked about last week that if you were found to be with child and you were not married, then it was stoning. That was your choices. I did more research this week because I've been researching about Joseph and his role, and it was really intense. When you were betrothed, it was normally a 9 to 1 year period that you were betrothed, mainly because the girls were younger when they were betrothed. It wasn't, you know, nowadays we get married because we love someone. Back then it was because your parent or family member arranged something. And so it was a kind of a courtship, so it was very long. Sometimes the bride and the groom weren't even allowed to see each other during that year. It was all dependent on families and what they thought or how they intermingled. They went through a mediator between the bride and the groom. But if you agreed to be betrothed, that was it. It was like we would consider being married now. It was not like an engagement. It was as if you were already married. And so she would not have been in Joseph's house at this point. She would have still been under her mother's roof. That's really important as we learn about Joseph today. And so if you want to open up your Bibles, Matthew 1, verse 18, we're going to start there. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now this is important. Before they came together was not meaning necessarily the consummation of marriage. It was before they came together to live under the same roof. Okay? She was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, or which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So several things happen here. When they were betrothed, the very first thing that happened after they were betrothed was Mary took a trip. Remember we talked about that last week, that she went to see Elizabeth. So for the first 3 months of their betrothal, Mary was not around. She comes back, and in the Jewish teaching, it would not have been that she would have gone to Joseph to tell Joseph that she was pregnant. It would have been visible, or it would have been word of mouth that it got back to him. People started talking when she got home. Joseph is a just man. And so instead of publicly disgracing her, which would have opened her up for stoning, he's going to secretly divorce her on the side. That still would have left her vulnerable because she's still with child and she still doesn't have a husband. So eventually it still would have meant that she would have been brought before probably the council or the priest, and she probably would have been stoned. But he is not wanting to make a public disgrace of her. That tells us something about Joseph right there. Joseph is a man of integrity. He's a kind man. He's a man who is not, you know, harping on her. He's not ridiculing her. He's not dragging her before the priest. He must have known something about Mary's character. And we have to know that if people are talking, okay, let's just be real, right? Girls, we talk, right? And so if an angel came and told you you were going to have a son of God and you knew that your body was changing and that you were pregnant, I am sure you're going to tell every girlfriend you know. Oh, my goodness. You know how we've heard for years that there would be someone that would carry the child of God? It's me. It's me. Right? And I'm sure everybody around her is like, whoa. Okay. Right. Does Joseph know about this? Right? And so in Joseph's story, we look at he has to trust the Lord with his reputation or with what people think about him. So we see his first response is kindness. He doesn't drag her out. He wants to quietly put her aside, right? Quiet, do things quietly out of respect for her. And then we see that he has a dream. And in the dream, the Lord tells him, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. What would he be afraid of? Scandal? Ridicule? People saying things about him, his own reputation being tainted, because either he's the father or he's choosing to marry someone who has had a relationship outside of him. So any way you look at it, it's not good for Joseph, right? But Joseph trusts the Lord with his reputation. And we see in verse 24, it says that when he was awoken from sleep, he went and did as the angel said, and he took her as his wife, or he brought her from her parents' home or her family's home into his home. He made an incredible statement to everyone. He said, I don't care about betrothal. I don't care about the time frames. This woman is now coming into my home under my protection, and the child she has is coming into my home and under my protection. Wow. What an incredible man that the Lord chose. What an incredible man. And again, we look at these things and we go, oh, that's so cool that Joseph did that. And yet none of us really can understand the implications of what's going on in Joseph's life at this moment. He could lose everything, right? But how many people know that when you trust the Lord, when he tells you to do something and you step out and you do it, he always provides a way. Say amen. Now swing over to Luke 2. We're going to see what the Lord provides. And how many times do you know that the Lord doesn't always work through the godly? He'll work through anybody. Amen? And it says in Luke 2, and it came to pass in those days, what days? The days when Mary had come into Joseph's home. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. And so a census took place, and Joseph was not from Nazareth in Galilee. He was from Bethlehem. And so he had to leave this place where he was at, where there was the ridicule and possibly the slander against him, the whispering. You know how people are. The gossiping and the whispering. When you walk in the room, everyone's quiet. The Lord took them out of all that and brought them to a place, basically, where people just knew that Joseph was from there. The cities were far apart, so the likelihood is people probably didn't even know the background. They probably thought that Mary and Joseph were married and this was their child, because that's the way it was, right? So the Lord takes them out of there. And then he does this amazing thing, and it continues. Go back to Matthew. Sorry, go back and forth there. Matthew 2 again, and we're going to look in verse 13. That after the census is taken, the Magi come, and we'll get into that next week, and they bring the gifts, and then Herod is mad because he wanted to get rid of this so-called king that was being born, but we learned the wise men didn't tell him. Right? They didn't tell him where he was at. And so his plan was that I'll just wipe out all the kids from 2 to 3, all the boys in that area, because that was the time frame that the Magi had said. And then it says in verse 13, whoops, sorry, back up. Verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed. Oops, no, I was right. Verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there while I bring until I bring you word, for Herod is seeking the young child to destroy him. And so he arose and took the child and his mother and departed. So again, the Lord is taking them where? Back to where all the gossip and everything is? Do this. No. He's taking them farther out, bringing them to a place where they can be flourishing as a family and as a couple and not under the weight of the scandal. Our God takes care of us. Our God takes care of us. When he tells you to do something and you do it, he provides a way. And again, it's so easy to look at this in the scripture and go, that is so, yes, right on. Yes, that is so awesome. But I heard as I was watching EMIC this morning, someone share a story about, I can't remember his name, but you remember the man who used to do the tightrope walking across Niagara Falls? He was a really crazy guy. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he would walk across on tightropes, and people would stand, they'd come from miles around, and they would cheer him on both sides as he would do it. And he would say, do you think I can do this going back? And they'd be like, yes, you can. And they would cheer. And then he would go to the back of the other side, and he said, what do you think? What if I do it blindfolded? And the people would cheer, and he would walk across blindfolded. And he said, what about if I do it with a wheelbarrow? And people, yes, yes, that's so awesome. And they would cheer when he would go across in a wheelbarrow. And then he quieted the crowd, and he goes, okay, what if we do it with somebody inside the wheelbarrow? Yeah, you can do it. And he said, okay, quiet down. Now I just need a volunteer. Silence. Everybody was willing to cheer and say, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, that's great. Until it came time to put their own life behind it. And that's what we do sometimes with Mary and Joseph, is we go, yeah, that is so cool. Way to go, Mary and Joseph. Way to obey God. Way to listen to the voice of God. And sometimes even we understand the full impact of everything that they had to leave behind, everything that they had to bear and they had to walk through, but we're still so excited for them. But do you trust the Lord with your reputation or how people view you? Now, when you tell people, I'm a tither and a giver, they go, oh, one of those. Because so much times in their minds, they think about religious traditions that, you know, all the pastor wants, he just wants your money. He just wants your money. That's the only reason he brings you to church. He just wants your money. Or the church, just they always asking. They're always taking. They're always taking. They get a picture and they get a view. Or maybe the Lord tells you to do something really, really big. Like give away a car to someone. And you're not necessarily wealthy. And people around you go, but couldn't you sell that car and get some money and then live a little better than you are right now? Your reputation is on the line. What people think about you, they are crazy, man. They are crazy. They give when they have nothing to give. That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. But the important part here is putting our lives to back what we say the word says. If you say the word says, my God will supply all my needs, then when he tells you to give something, you give because you realize that is not your source. That is not your source. Pastor Steve and I have had multiple times in our lives that the Lord has told us to give away cars or to give them for less than they're worth. Does it make any sense? No. Doesn't make any sense at all. But you know what? We're being obedient to what the Lord has called us to do. And just like for Mary and Joseph, the Lord provides a way. We're driving something I asked the Lord for, you know, like a 2004, 2002, when I was praying for a new van. I'm driving a 2008 that's paid off, debt-free. It may not make sense to the world, but it makes sense to the Lord. And when you're obedient, there is such a blessing that follows. Not only did Mary and Joseph Were they obedient to the Lord when he told them to go? And not only did the Lord provide a way out, but we know the Lord provided for more than enough, for every need that they could possibly have and beyond, when the wise men came and brought their gifts. Does the Lord just leave you once he calls you to do something? No. He always provides. You can trust him with your reputation today. It's okay to tell people, I'm a tither and I'm a giver. Why do you do that? Because I'm looking for a harvest, because I want to give more. I want to spend my whole life giving to people. Look at the things that they said about Rockefeller when he truly gave his heart to the Lord and he began giving away his mass amounts of money. They thought he'd lost his mind. What in the world? And they may think that about you too, but that's okay. Because your God will provide for you. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you so much for your word and the story of trust. And Father, today I know that you're speaking to some of us, maybe even all of us in this room, and saying, I'm ready to walk across with someone in my wheelbarrow. Do you trust me? And I pray, Father, today that every single one of us would say yes. We would say yes, Father. Mary and Joseph had to trust you with their character, with their reputations, with their lives. All you're asking of us is 10%. That's all you're asking us to trust you with. I pray, Father, that we would not be held back by 10%. We would not be held back by the offerings that you whisper to our hearts to give. We would not be held back from those things, but we would give to every good work, knowing, Father, that you have a greater plan. And that plan includes us not being bound to money. That money isn't our God's, but you are our God. And I just pray, Father, during this Christmas season, Father, as you lay things on our hearts to do, that we would give and we would give and we would give and we would be obedient to what you've called us to do. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you that we'll be able to share with people the good news that I can give and I still have more than enough, because that's how God works. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you today. Bless every seed that's sown. And as I've prayed for the last few weeks, we're going to reach January and all of our accounts are still going to have money in them. There's not going to be lack. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness today. And everybody said, amen.
All right. Well, I think we can go ahead and dismiss the kids this morning. Amen. Merry Christmas, kids. Are our nieces the kids this morning? That's right. Praise God. Well, let's pray over this service. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Somebody say, today. I give you all the praise and glory, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Well, we're staying true to what the Lord asked me to do several months ago in committing. It's primarily been the first Sunday of the month to healing. Praise God. How many of you believe in healing? And does the Bible have anything to say about a God who heals his people? Amen. Does God use sickness to teach his people anything? Would you use sickness on if you could to teach your child something? Now that would put me in jail probably. I'd be considered a child abuser if I did that, right? And so your heavenly Father wants you well. That's the why we've been doing this, you know, committing ourselves to this is because it's the Bible talks about renewing our minds to things that the Word says. So we have to become convinced that it's our Father's will for us to be well. Amen? And it doesn't matter even how financially blessed I am or things I possess or how successful, whatever. If you're sick, that's a bummer, like Gloria Copeland would say. That's a bummer, right? And so we want to be well. Amen. We want to live long and live strong. So don't be thinking that you're going to be passing on at 70, 80, 90. Just when you and Jesus are good and ready, right? When it's time for you to step into the next realm of walking through the gates of heaven, praise the Lord for that day. But today is not that day. Amen. And you don't have to get to that day through a sickness or through some tragic thing or amen, right? You can just go lay down and go to sleep one night and wake up in heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember Oral Roberts' wife, Evelyn, when she was at a dental appointment and just fell over and woke up in heaven. I mean, you know, things that the devil would try to make look like a defeat or something bad. No, when that person goes on into heaven, I heard Reinhard Bonnke passed away yesterday, went on to be with Jesus. So, I mean, talk about a man who won souls and all this, and I'm sure the work that he's been doing will keep going. But wow, what a reward he's stepping into. Amen? But as for you and me, we're still here on this planet. We still got work to do. So let's not allow sickness and disease and health be a distraction or a limitation to what God wants to do in and through our lives. Amen? Because if Jesus wants me to reach more people, I'm going to have to do it healthier, right? Otherwise, I'll be missing Sundays and missing work and... Right? Not showing up because I don't feel good. No. Amen. And so we've committed this time to the Lord to renew our minds to the reality that God has health for us. Don't you know this is a season about gifts and giving and receiving? We just need to be people that are willing to receive the gift of health. And it is a gift, right? Because this world is full of the curse, full of death, full of disease, full of sicknesses. There's new diseases and sicknesses occurring. But Jesus, somebody say, has cured them all. Once and for all. Cured them all. And also, he's put his healing in your hands. If you're a believer, show me your hands if you're a believer, right? Amen. Like the Oregon Ducks receivers were doing the other day, showing us their hands. Hallelujah. That was a fun game. Amen. It's fun when you win. Amen. And God has a winning life for us. And there's healing in your hands. If you're a believer, you can lay hands on the sick and pray over them. Amen. And just be sowing seeds of health and healing to people. Don't claim things like flu season. Don't claim things like cancer and heart disease and all this kind of stuff. Just say, you know what? I don't receive that. I don't want that in my life. Just ask yourself, do I want that in my life? If the answer is no, then don't receive it. It's like if the UPS guy showed up at my door and offered me a box and it's ticking, right? The address says, to Steve from Hades, with love. No, thank you. I'm not going to sign for that. Somebody say, don't sign for it. Amen. So you just lay it aside. Now, you may have, in the natural, we may have doctor's reports to deal with and facts that we deal with, but the truth of God's word can change the facts of what we're going through. And we need to never lose sight of that. And even if you're going through something in your own body, you're not disqualified from laying hands on someone else to be healed. That's called faith, right? I got some pain in my own body, but yet I'm still praying for you. What are you doing? You're sowing healing so you can reap health in your own life. These are glorious things to be aware of, right? But we'll start with this confession today. If you have your notes, you can say this out loud. And again, the screen that I chose here, the 3 John chapter 2 is actually one of the verses. It's actually the verse that we'll end on, but we'll start with it. Everybody say this, beloved. Now, you don't have to go any farther than that. Why does God want you well? Because he loves you. Why does he heal you? Well, because I believed for it. Well, that does help. But he heals me because he loves me. He prospers me. He blesses me. He leads me and guides me. He teaches me and trains me and corrects me. But why? Because he loves me. I mean, it's really as simple as that. It's not a complicated thing, right? And John, right, John was the disciple who called himself the disciple who Jesus loves. If you read through the book of John, he'll refer to himself. And the disciple who Jesus loves. You need to refer to yourself. I need to refer to myself as the disciple who Jesus loves. Amen. Beloved, I pray that you prosper. Say prosper in all things and be in health. Oops, I left an N out there. And be in health. And be in health just as your soul prospers. That N has not been there since April, and I didn't notice till now. Well, praise God, right? Somebody say, I'm in health. Where are you? I'm in health. Amen. You know those maps that say, you are here. Well, I don't feel healthy. Well, since when has this ever had anything to do with how I feel? Amen. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm healed. I'm healed. Why am I healed? Because my Father loves me. Amen. And I love the picture there. It reminds me of Moses, you know, when he had to climb. God gave him 120 strong years, and he went to the top of the mountain, and he could still see the promised land without glasses, right? And he had the strength to get to the top of the mountain at 120 years old. And then God, you know, he went with the Lord right there. Amen. But it reminds you that, man, God has got places for me to go, things for me to do, that he's called me to do. And it's going to take a healthy body to get things, to do things well for the Lord, to have the endurance to do what God has called us to do in this world. Body, soul, and spirit, or, you know, the order, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? The world is body and soul and spirit, but Jesus is spirit, soul, and body. But guess what? Body is still in the top three. We shouldn't neglect our body. Because if I neglect my body, that's going to affect the things God can do through my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So here's our confession. A confession for living in divine health from Psalm 103, verse 5. And actually, we're going to look at Psalm 103 first. So if you have your Bible, open to Psalm 103. This is a great chapter to highlight. Make notes about. Praise God for it. Because, you know, what we need to do is we need to see the promises of God in writing. We need to see his word in writing and just receive it by faith, right? And here's one of those places. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, the soul is the realm of the mind, will, and emotions, right? That's really where the battle is. The spirit man is born again. He's doing great. The body is doing what it's told to do. The soul is where I choose. That's where I choose. Somebody say, I choose. I choose life. I choose the blessing of God, right? In the realm of the soul. So he says, this is a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Somebody say, all his benefits. So I've got to be reminding my soul, reminding myself constantly. Everybody say constantly, right? Constantly reminding myself of the benefits of my salvation, one of which is health. Amen? Who forgives all your iniquities. That's a great place to start, isn't it? Without the forgiveness of my sins, what is a healthy body worth? It'll be nice for a few years. But did you notice that everything in this world is going to burn eventually, right? My physical body is, if Jesus doesn't come, is going to pass away, right? My nice car is going to burn. The house is going to burn. My clothes are going to burn, right? But God has, why? Because he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. It's really good news. But there's better stuff on the other side, amen? So we're focused on the better things. And God has better health for us. But it starts with being forgiven. And we shouldn't just fly by that, because if I'm walking in any unforgiveness, and I'll tell you what, offenses come often. Opportunities to be offended come often especially this time of the year, and in an election year. Offenses come from the north, south, east, and west, from up, from down, from over here, from over there. And what we've got to do is we've got to be real, real good at forgiving people. Just yesterday, I think it was, the day before. Yeah, it was Friday. I was tired for, you know, a long day of work, and I'm stopping at the grocery store to get a couple things. And it's that self-checkout line. And I got in line like everybody else. And I got up to the front, and like three people went right in front of me and took. And finally, the third one, I'm like, hey, go ahead. I'm just like, hey, go right ahead. And I just waited. And the last lady was like, well, I was here first anyway. And I'm like, well, we'd have to have a photo finish, but you're probably right. Go right ahead. Why get miffed at people, right? What's it worth? All it's going to do is give me a headache. That's an opportunity for me to get sick, right? Getting sick of people is just going to make me sick. No, you just got to be patient with people. Let people, don't have any expectations from people. Just let them do what they're going to do and give and sow, right? Had another guy last night where I could tell he was watching the same parking spot as I was, and we're cruising around, and I'm like, just cruise right on, but let him have it, you know? I've probably made a mistake of cutting somebody off before, whatever. But, you know, it's about the now, isn't it? Just be in the habit of sowing, giving, and refuse to be offended. Amen? What are the two words I say a lot in our house, kids, lately? Be nice. Be nice. It's so easy to start poking at each other and provoking one another. I mean, talking about everybody, not just us. But, you know, you're having fun, you're hanging out, and it's like, be nice. Why? Because a little spark can light a fire. Amen? So be nice. What are those two words I say in our house a lot? Be nice. And I have to tell myself sometimes, too. Steve, be nice. Tell Shelly you're sorry about that. Amen. Well, it's important to have that forgiveness thing down, because it will block everything God wants to do in my life. If I refuse to forgive, if I take offense, if I'm, you know, angry at people, miffed at people, provoking people, and that's why I got to watch what I listen to. If all I listen to is sports all day, and I enjoy sports as much as the next guy, and some ladies too, but man, there's a lot of strife in sports. A lot of the talk shows during the day are all about who's mad at who, and this, that, this happened in this game, and that, and even trying to create things around, and, you know, the what ifs, right? I think the devil resides in the land of what if, in the land of the unknown, in the land of, well, maybe that's what's going to happen, because he's a liar, he's a thief, right? The land of speculation. And so all these things, it's important to have the forgiveness thing down. And it doesn't just happen once. It happens every day, right? Sometimes multiple times in a day, in an hour, right? Amen. So that's a benefit of my salvation, forgiveness. So since I've been forgiven, amen, and we got to watch so we don't compare sins. Well, I haven't been forgiven all that much. That guy's an idiot. We got to watch that, you know? I did a little illustration in children's ministry once, and I didn't have Dog Do with me, I don't think. I don't think I would have done that. But I had a clear, beautiful, pure bottle of water. And I said, who wants a drink of this water? Oh, yeah. Well, what if I put a bunch of Dog Do in it and shook it up? Then who would want it? No. Okay, well, what if I just took a little speck of dog poo and then shook it up? Who would? No. Somebody say sin is sin, right? Sin separates from God. So whether in my own mind I've sinned a lot or sinned a little, it all cuts me off from the blessings of God in my life, right? So we just thank Jesus. You know, there's a scripture that says, he who's forgiven much loves much. loves much. And guess what, church? We've all been forgiven much. Adolf Hitler, one of the worst sinners I could think of in recent history on planet Earth, is totally innocent of everything I ever did. Not guilty. And guess what? The blood of Jesus is powerful enough that if he cried out before he took his own life, forgiven. Now, we can't fathom that kind of love. But we need to thank Jesus every day that he's forgiven us for everything that we've ever done. Amen? Every thought, every intent of the heart, right? It starts with forgiveness. It's a big thing, church. I mean, if we have issues with forgiveness, if we say things like, I hate you, or this or that, or just, you know, walk around angry at people, that's going to make you sick. That opens the door for disease. This is not a light thing. Amen? So what do? We say, I forgive. Even if you don't feel like it, well, you don't know what they did to me. No, you got to remember what he did for you. Amen? And then you just say it by faith. Say it by faith. I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. Somebody say, I forgive. Amen. And then it says this, verse 3, and heals all your diseases. See that? Following on the heels of forgiveness is healing. Healing. All your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. And then flip over to Philippians 4:13, and it says this. I can do. Somebody say can do. Don't you know you have a can-do God, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or a probably more accurate thing is to say, which strengthens me. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's the anointing of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God on the inside of you enables you to do it. That's why you can forgive that person. You don't do it in your own strength and might. You do it by faith. You do it by the anointing. Amen? So somebody say this out loud. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That anointing strengthens you. That's what happened this morning when the Holy Ghost said, joy. That doesn't come from you conjuring it up. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you already, and it's overwhelming and overtaking you and lifting you up above all the pressures and issues of this life. Amen? Well, let's do this confession now that we got through those scriptures. If you have your outline, say this out loud. I speak supernatural energy and health to my body. I am not moved by lying symptoms. I call myself strong in Jesus' name. I call myself healed in Jesus' name. Weakness, pain, tiredness. Boy, hallelujah for that. I speak to you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave my body. You may not stay. You must go. My strength and youth are being renewed as the eagles. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's from kcm.org. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I receive every word of that. Amen. And so we need to be checking ourselves, listening to what's coming out of our own mouths. The Holy Ghost will show you things that you might be saying unconsciously, right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and what you say, you get, right? So we need to be people that are watchful over our words. What's coming out of my mouth is going to create what I'm believing, what I'm receiving, what I'm looking for. And you're literally, you know, God created the heavens and the earth by his word. And you're created in his image. So we don't call our kids stupid. We don't call our, you know, grandkids or our husbands or wives or whatever idiots or losers or broke. Broke, busted, and disgusted. We're poor and proud. No, no, no. We need to wash our mouth out with the soap of God's word, right? And renew our minds. We don't call ourselves sick. Yeah, but Pastor Steve, I've been throwing up. Well, start ingesting more of this and confessing God's word. Amen. And believing him to heal you, those aches and pains and issues and, you know, diseases and chronic issues, that kind of stuff. You refuse to accept what this confession calls lying symptoms. Amen. I take authority over every symptom of sickness in my body. Today I resist you. Devil, you must flee. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost will give us wisdom. He's giving me wisdom. And even this past week, there's been things in my diet that have changed, which is amazing. I knew the things I needed to do. I just didn't have the strength to do it. Until this past week, something changed. And it's like, at dinner time, I haven't been eating as much. Usually that's been my issue, is overeating at night. I know I'm not alone, right? I want seconds. I want thirds. I want dessert. There's a game on. I'm going to have ice cream, whatever. And I had some Froyo last night. But, amen, after about 7:30, I cut it off. That's been the thing, is the Lord gave me the power this past week to cut it off at a certain time. And it's 11 or 12 hours before I eat again. That's a breakthrough for me. And I'm rejoicing about it. And I've been exercising more. Amen. 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening generally. Praise God. Had to adjust some things because I overdid it on my foot. So my ankle's been sore for a long time. Take authority over that. And the Holy Ghost said, you know what, you've been on the bike too much. So my daughter has these ankle weights. So I've been laying on my back doing bicycle motions with ankle weights on while I'm watching the movie, while I'm watching the game. See, our life is full of little adjustments, isn't it? And the Holy Ghost helps me to adjust, to do what he says to do. And it's like 20 minutes and I'm done. Now, the past few days, my quads have been like, oh, I told Lindsay, those ankle weights work. They work. But I'm grateful. I feel better. I have more energy, right? Amen. And this time of the year, don't you know, the sweets are everywhere, right? So we've got to, you know, make sure we're getting plenty of water, plenty of exercise, eating plenty of good things. I don't eat as many sandwiches anymore. Right? I'm just giving you a testimony. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on God, right? But lunch, I used to always have sandwiches, bread, cheese, you know, whatever. Well, not anymore. I take a salad with me and nuts. Now, I do occasionally stop for a donut, truth be told, and a coffee. Amen. But by and large, it's good stuff that I know my body can use. Not stuff that's going to gum up my veins. And, you know, the Lord is giving us wisdom. In other words, this health teaching and so forth, there's a practical side to it. We can't just believe God that, well, somebody lay hands on me and I'll be, yes, praise God for that. But I also have to do things myself that the Holy Ghost shows me in the Word and so forth. Amen. So God is, somebody say, God is helping me. The Lord is he's helping my pastor. He's helping me. Amen. Glory to God. Well, here we go. This is from God's Will to Heal. 101 Things God Said by Pastor Keith Moore, morelife.org. Love these ministries that we're talking about. God said so. How do you know God healed you? Because he said so, and he's not a liar. Amen? So how do we know what this is from from Brother Keith Moore's website? And there's actually a download you can click on right on his homepage, I believe, God's Will to Heal. You can have it yourself. Right? How do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? It makes little difference what others say about it. What did he say about it? Remember that God has no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34. He never changes, Malachi 3:6. So what he said to them yesterday, he's saying to us today. God's word is speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally and to sum up the thoughts in some instances. Also, many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe, obey, if you eat less sugar, if you skip McDonald's, hallelujah, right? Even my Starbucks orders have changed over the years. Now, I'm testifying. I usually get a coconut milk latte. Why? Because I know there's not much sugar in it. And not the whatever else in there, right? Amen. That's what are we talking about? Somebody say better choices. Better choices. Amen. And that's the God I serve. He's into better. Somebody say better. Better. Plus, they can't mess it up either. It just comes as it is. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we go. So we've been doing this, like I said, since April, and we've been taking about 10 to 12 verses every month and just going over them. And now what we have is outlines for like 8 or 9 classes we can keep doing. Isn't that awesome, right? Be a good idea, wouldn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, say this out loud. God said, I will deliver you from every evil work. 2 Timothy 4:18. Now, we need to have it settled in our minds. Sickness is evil. Now, if you have a sickness, it doesn't mean you're evil. But we need to have it settled. This is not God trying to teach me something. Amen. I heard a lady testify on the radio once. Well, since the Lord put this leukemia on me, I know he's trying to... What? He's trying to teach me something, and he'll give me strength. Yeah, he'll heal you of that. But if you believe that God put that on you, and somehow in his great infinite wisdom, you just need to accept it. I've heard people use words like, we just need to embrace this. Oh, no. We don't embrace the curse. We embrace everything Jesus has done for us. That's why as believers, you have the responsibility to know what's in your Bible for you. You need to be bouncing everything I say, everything anybody says, everything that comes out of you with the word of God. Somebody say amen, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, God said, say that, I tasted death for you. I destroyed the devil who had the power of death. I delivered you from the fear of death and bondage. Hebrews 2:9, 14, 15. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Amen. I had two cousins, Randy and me, mom, nephews, below the age of 40 that passed away this year. But, church, we know where they are. They are with Jesus. They are with Jesus. But I in no way say anything like, yeah, that was just God's plan for them. No. No. I praise God they're with my uncle, right? And he went in 60, 62, something like that. I mean, his age. So, I mean, all of them young. Amen? But we don't get mixed up into all that. Well, yeah, that was God's timing. No, I don't believe so. But I know this. Heaven accepted them and their home. And praise God, we're going to party later. Amen. Our dear friend Christine, 6 years ago now? Passed on too early. She's supposed to be here for graduations and marriages. Yes, I said marriages. Whoa, and I'm preaching too, but no, not today. And birthdays, right? She didn't miss that. Well, she's in heaven now, and we'll laugh about it together. I know we will. Amen. But don't you get your mind set on, well, so-and-so checked out, so why wouldn't I? Well, God doesn't love me more than them. Well, has nothing to do with what happened to them in terms of what happens to you. Don't you ever limit, listen to me, church, don't you ever limit what God can do in you through what happened or didn't happen in someone else's life. Hallelujah. That should set you free. Amen. Well, they were holier than me, and this terrible thing happened. How do you know? You don't know anything about them or what they're believing or their life. No. You just say, Jesus, I'm going to live and live and live and be healthy and whole and blessed. And, you know, you just take what the word says and you claim it for yourself. Amen? And we don't get into criticizing other people and no. 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 But we say, devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. And Jesus is my God. Amen. God said this, I wash your body with pure water. Amen. Hebrews 10 and Ephesians 5. The word of God is pure water. Amen. Number 95, lift up the weak hands and feeble knees. Don't let that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let me heal it. Oh, can you hear Jesus is saying this? Church,
let me. I mean, it's not like you have to twist his arm. He's like, let me. Somebody say, go ahead, Lord. Go ahead. Just go ahead and heal me. Just go ahead and deliver me. Hallelujah. There's so many people that won't let him do what he's here to do. Somebody say, not me. Just say, go ahead, Lord. Go ahead. Amen. We got to hurry up here. Number 96, let the elders anoint you and pray for you in my name, in my name. Somebody say, in my name. And I will raise you up, James 5. Now let me tell you something about the elders. That's not a licensed position. There's a lot of people that have been in the church a long time that don't believe it's God's will to heal you. You can be an elder at 2 years old in Jesus, 2 days old. I'm studying about wildlife right now, and there's certain types of wildlife like porcupines, for example. They carry their young, you know, in the womb for like 6 months, and then in less than 2 weeks, they're out of the house. You're out of here. There's other ones that they stay together for years, right? So it doesn't matter. If you have faith for healing the day you get saved, there's people that get healed before they get saved, right? So don't get stumbling on that word, well, I have to have the elders of the church. Well, you can be an elder of the church. If you're born again, you have the authority to lay hands on the sick. Now, yes, have your pastor and leaders, and so that's biblical. But make sure don't just let anybody pray for you just because they have a pastor license or whatever. No, you make sure that they're saying this. Somebody say amen, right? Hallelujah. Pray for one another, and I will heal you. James 5:16. Hallelujah. There you go, right? Number 98, by my stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. I mean, that doesn't get much more basic than that. Jesus endured such a punishment, not for his enjoyment. He paid for your healing. So we just say thank you. Somebody just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. In Jesus' name. And then number 99, my divine power has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of me. 2 Peter 1:3. It's all about his power. Amen. Number 100, here we go. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. Now take your Bible and say, this is the water of life. So whoever will, come and take it. I love how Gloria prays over people. Take it. The word believe means take it. So you got to come and take it. Hallelujah. The other day, the Oregon Ducks, the Utah Utes thought that Pac-12 trophy was theirs, but the Ducks came in and they took it. And sometimes the devil thinks he's got your health, but you come in and you take it from him. Somebody say hallelujah. See, you got to be a little violent as a Christian, a little aggressive as a Christian. Excuse me, but that's mine. I will take it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. This is why knowing your word is so important. And then finally, number 101, beloved, I wish above all things that you may, and then we just cut right to be in health. 3 John 2. Everybody stand on your feet. We're going to close with this confession of faith, and we're going to receive our healing today. Amen. Somebody say today. Today, I receive my healing. Just lift your hands and say this out loud. Jesus Christ is Lord over me, spirit, soul, and body. Sickness, I resist you. In the name of Jesus, I enforce the will of God on you. Today, leave my presence now. Leave my body now. Leave my soul now. I believe I receive my healing now. I am well now in Jesus' name. I forgive and receive my forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now just praise him and thank him for that. Lord, we thank you. We praise you that you're our healer today. And we commit our lives to walking in the health of God, spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Fellowship with each other. Coffee's on. And Merry Christmas.